you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
So you're going into battle. Do you expect to encounter enemy forces? You remember, again, the story of the Philistines lined up on one side of the valley, Israelites lined up on the other side. They can see the enemy, but they didn't want to clash. I mean, the Philistines weren't running down into the valley and up the other side either. Both groups, it's a standoff, day after day after day. I think a lot of times we are conditioned to expect defeat. There is such an emphasis in current evangelical culture to try and make everybody feel good about themselves that basically if you're going to be other than Michael Youssef, a famous preacher today, you kind of have to spend a lot of time emphasizing, you know, I'm such a mess, and, you know, this is the way I am, and, you know, the good news is that God loves us, and, well, the good news is that God loves us, that's true, but that's not the whole truth. Does he love you just the way you are? Yes. Does he want to leave you the way you are? No. The good news is that he has already promised he's not going to leave you the way you are. This is not as good as it gets. So victory is ours. But it's an ongoing thing. Two aspects of sanctification. Positional sanctification and progressive sanctification or experiential sanctification. In Christ, I am now holy, perfect, seated with him in the heavenly places. He accomplished that. But he is at work. We're told to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. That doesn't mean to negotiate a deal. It's not like read Trump's book and then see what you can work out with God. To work out our salvation means that it is increasingly, progressively being manifested in us. We are demonstrating more and more the truth of what Christ has done for us and is doing in us. If you are a child of God, God has taken up residence in you. And he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. If it's me against the devil, I lose. But if Christ is in me, then I shouldn't just think, hey, we got a chance now. If Christ is in me, I am more than a conqueror through him who loved us. We'll get to Romans 8 in a few moments. But I want us to think about this expectation of victory. We have already seen what God can do, and we've already seen what God has done. Why do we like Rudy? Because it's the story of an underdog. God loves underdog stories. I mean, if you're a Christian, you're an underdog story. Paul writes to the Corinthians and he says, think about what you were when he saved you. Not many of you were mighty. Not many of you were noble. Not many of you were rich. That's not who God picks to put on the team. Paul says, God chose the nobodies to shame the somebodies. When Jesus was criticized for being at a party at Matthew's house, Jesus said, I'm a physician, and I've come for the sick. How do you feel about Jesus telling us we're sick? Okay. Don't say that about me. I don't want anybody calling my lifestyle sick. Sick, 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 sick. Okay? He says we're sick. Why? Because we're sick. But that's not the end of our story. When you know you're sick, you don't mind being recognized by a doctor as having a problem. Jesus didn't come to condemn the sick. He came to heal us. And so in order to receive healing, Jesus said, I didn't come for the healthy, I came for the sick. I just want to ask you a question. Were the Pharisees healthy? No. They were the sickest because they thought they were healthy. Jesus healed a man who was blind. Blind from birth. And he got dumped on by the Pharisees for doing so. And so Jesus started talking about blindness. And they said, are you saying we're blind too? And Jesus said, if you actually were blind, there'd be hope for you. But because you can see, but basically refuse to see, no hope for somebody like that. In order for us to be healed, we've got to realize we've got a real problem. God knows exactly what you struggle with. And God isn't saying, well, you better clean up your act or I'll give you 24 hours. That's not the way he works. But he's also not saying, hey, quit struggling. It's okay. Everybody's got problems, you know. This is your sin. This is your sin. Have at it. No. We've got preachers saying that. We got mega church preachers who claim to be evangelical who are saying that. Saying, sin? Don't call it sin. You're gonna make people feel badly. The church will be an inhospitable place. We want people to feel welcome here. By pretending that sin isn't sin, a church that tries to tell people that sin isn't sin is not a real church. It's a club. And it's a sick club. You and I need more than forgiveness. We need a new life. And Jesus came to give us new life. We said in the last session, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came so that we might have life to the fullest, have it more abundantly. He's not here in order to destroy our life. He's here so that we can finally really live. And he makes it possible. He makes it possible. I think it's been about 9 years since the last time I sinned. No. I'm not sinless. but I sin less. Okay? And the gospel is not about a sin management problem. Okay? It's about new life. Learning to die to self and depend upon the life of Christ in me. Christ in you is the hope of glory. That's what he says in his word. Christ in you is the hope of glory. In and of myself, no good thing. But in Christ, I am more than a conqueror.
Psalm 145 says, "One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts." Have you heard about Legacy 145? This program gives you an opportunity to provide a safe haven for future generations of children at Ware's Valley Ranch. While at the ranch, children from all across the country have their practical needs met. But most importantly, they hear about a Heavenly Father who loves them so much that He sent His only Son to die on the cross to pay for their sins. Healing and hope are found at the ranch through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And your legacy can continue that message to children in crisis. You can learn more at wvr.org. Click on the Legacy 145 button. That's wvr.org. And click on the icon that says Legacy 145. Or you can give us a call at 866-41-ABIDE. God bless you, and have a great day.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, and he's holding out his hand. If you want to turn to 1 Samuel 17 again, the David and Goliath story, 1 Samuel 17, verse 36, we'll go to first. What did David do in 1 Samuel 17:36? He said, "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine may be like one of them," because he is that. Oh no, I'm sorry, I misread that, didn't I? "He will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God." Look at verse 46. Now he's talking to the giant. "This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." Keep reading. "All those gathered here will know that it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." Verse 48. "As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him." Was David thinking he had a good shot at this? He knew the victory is ours. Why? Because the battle is the Lord's. The basis of his confidence was not, "I've been practicing with my slingshot," even though he had been. The basis of his confidence was he knew God. And he knew that the same God who had delivered the lion and the bear into his hands had now delivered the Philistine into his hands. He knew that God wins. Verse 51. David ran, and this is after he's killed him. He ran and stood over him, took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the scabbard. And after he'd killed him, which he'd done with the slingshot, he cut off his head with the sword. It was a trophy. David wasn't hopeful. That's too mild a word. David was certain. If the battle is the Lord's, the victory is won. God sees things that aren't yet as already done. Why? Because he's God. God doesn't have to get anybody's permission to be God. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The Bible says that we will be his holy bride. This is not a numbers game where we're trying hard to win the victory. The victory has been won. The outcome is already decided. So, we have already seen what God can do and what God has done. And for that reason, we're expecting victory. If you feel defeated, you're not likely to win. Is that true? I mean, if athletic event, business deal, I don't know how many of you have ever done sales or been approached by a salesperson. I'm going to assume everyone falls into one of those two categories at least. If a person is going to try and make a sale, some people have the capacity to talk themselves out of success. Okay? I really hate to bother you. I have this product that you probably won't be interested. That person's not going to sell a lot, are they? Not going to be successful. Why? Well, they've already decided before they got to you that you weren't going to want what they have. They're not very excited about it themselves. Jesus isn't sending us out into this world saying, good luck, boys. He has already, at a price we can't even comprehend, secured the victory for us. He has already conquered death. So when we approach life daily, we should do so looking at him and realizing, thank God the victory's won. Before I was born again, I was a slave to sin. According to Scripture, I was powerless to say no. I was a slave, spiritually dead. Read Ephesians 2. All of us were dead in trespasses and sins. He made us alive in Christ. And now I have the capacity to say no to sin. I didn't before. Now I do, because he's given me new life. Jesus said in John 3, unless a man is born again, he can't even perceive, much less enter into the kingdom of God. The goal, according to John 3, is not being born again. Being born again is the means toward the goal, which is life in the kingdom. Life in the kingdom, as I've preached in your church numerous times, is not about geography, it's about relationship. It's a relationship with Jesus as your king. He's the ruler, he's the Lord, he's the master, he's the owner, he's the boss. You can't even recognize what that looks like, much less enter into it, until God does a work in you by his Spirit. But when he does, you now have the capacity to see, to get a glimpse of what it looks like for Jesus to be the boss of your life. My goodness, that changes everything. That changes how I treat my wife. That changes how I treat my kids. That changes how I behave at work. That changes how I behave in the neighborhood. It changes what kind of citizen I am and what my values are when I go in a voting booth. It changes my relationship with money. It changes everything. Because now I am not my own boss. He's my boss. And so the question is, Lord, what would you have me do? I'm sorry, what was that again? You want me to what? Oftentimes, as we study his word, we'll be very surprised by what he's asking of us. I mean, you know, it's just, okay, let's say, for example, love your enemies. That just springs naturally to mind, doesn't it? Okay, love your enemies. Let's see, bless those who curse you, bless and do not curse. If your enemy is hungry, give him something to eat, and if he's thirsty, give him something to drink. I got to get a different Bible. He tells us things that go totally against our flesh. And then we realize, my goodness, that's exactly what he did. Hanging on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. I wouldn't have gone to the cross. I wouldn't have died for me, okay? And I certainly wouldn't die for you. I mean, do you blame me? Would you die for me? I don't think so. Not on a cross. I mean, maybe you jump in front of a car and push me out of the way. I doubt it. But, you know, I mean, it might at least cross your mind, you know. But, I mean, we're just not wired that way. We are wired for self-preservation, not for self-sacrifice. Jesus not only goes to the cross for us, he prays that those who are his tormentors will be forgiven. Can you imagine having somebody like that in your house who had that kind of attitude? Well, I don't know. He might be very helpful around the house. Well, what if he wanted to own the house and you're going to work for him? Well, that would be problematic. Well, I got news for you. If you're born again, he has taken up residence in you and he's going to be telling you that kind of stuff from his word. Love your enemies. Do not take revenge. Leave room for the wrath of God. My wife has the genes of a fighter. She's got a whole bunch of warrior relatives. I mean, that's who they are, and it's in her DNA. She is a fighter. So what does my wife cling to as a verse in Scripture? She quotes it quite often. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. She comforts herself with the fact that she may not be able to pay them back, but God's going to get them. I love my wife. She's a great cook, too. But here's the thing. It's true. God does promise vengeance on those who do not repent. But God keeps saving people that we don't want him to. Have you noticed that? God delights in saving people we wouldn't approve of saving.
Well, folks, that's all the time we have this evening, but be sure to tune in tomorrow evening for the conclusion of this message, and keep listening as night after night we're going to be sharing how you can be more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number. 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.